Curry for setting a screen.
Because of physical play, although Jordan Taylor just got caught with a moving screen.
Izzo's dying for a moving screen.
It's that dreaded moving screen.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Moving Screen Podcast. I'm Brendan Quinn of The Athletic, your resident golf writer, here with Dylan Burkhart, UM Hoops. Dylan, how are you? It's July 21st. Have you left that room in 4 months, by the way?
I have. I leave the room every day to walk the dog and stay 6 feet apart from all my neighbors and stick to that. You're changing scenery over here on me, though.
Yeah, because we've had some issues with various podcasting adventures. I'm trying to go hardline more often.
Oh.
So I have to go into a different room to hardline my laptop. Or hardwire. What's the expression?
Either will work for you. So you have a hard Ethernet connection in your living room. Interesting.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So
coming through crystal clear, hopefully.
It's all good here.
For the folks out there, some news last week. Isaiah Livers returning to Michigan. Not a huge surprise, but we are going to get into it today. I was on the road last week when this went down. I was in Columbus, Ohio for 12 days covering golf. So I am back and much to discuss regarding Mr. Livers and his decision. There's still some pending stuff on Michigan State's side. A couple recruiting guys that look like they might be a couple planes about to land over there. And we will delve into that when the time comes. Same with Xavier Tillman, same with Aaron Henry. But right now, the pressing matter is Isaiah Livers coming back. And Dylan, is there anything on UM Hoops that people should check out before we get into this and subscribe to keep us afloat? Because this is the only thing between us and being homeless is subscribers.
Yeah, so this week we have a big breakdown. I watched all of Kobe Bufkin's games down in Fort Wayne over the weekend. So clipped up all the video there, have some analysis of what you can expect from him. He's Michigan's most recent commitment. Really impressive kind of combo guard who really looks the part to me and had a great weekend down there playing with the Grand Rapids Storm. It's a little crazy to me that there are AAU tournaments going on everywhere, but yeah. The film can still be edited. So we're going to roll with that. So that's up there. I also have my thoughts on Isaiah Livers coming back and plenty of other content up there on the site.
Nice. Over in The Athletic, obviously I'm doing a lot of golf, but we have tons of college basketball stuff from our stable of writers. But on my golf stuff, I had some interesting pieces, I think, from Columbus most recently. One talking about Sebi Ballesteros and John Rahm, two Spaniards who reached number one ranking in the world. Went in a little bit of a different direction with it, kind of gave the history of where this number one ranking came from, and that ended up leading me to Sebi Ballesteros' old agent, who's now an 80-year-old, living in Marina Del Rey, and it was a very interesting conversation, and this story took some interesting turns, so that's up there if that's something that might interest anyone out there. But more importantly, got some good deals coming up on The Athletic, 40% off starting Wednesday. If you can click on one of my stories and then subscribe from there, you know you help a brother out. So do that. Dylan, it doesn't matter where you subscribe to UM Hoops at all. It just fills his coffers.
That's accurate. Yeah, you can just go wherever you find your way.
Send checks to his house. We'll put the address out there if you want.
Let's not do that.
But. All right, fair. All right, let's get into it. Isaiah Livers coming back to Michigan. Like I said, not a surprise, but add some certainty to the situation. Now waiting on the waiver decision for Chaundy Brown. Chaundy Brown, sorry. Chaundy Brown, not Chaundy. Chaundy Brown. Which is weird because I talked to him and I'm pretty sure I'm like, hey, Chaundy, what's going on, man? And he didn't correct me. So if he called me Brandon, I would have corrected him immediately. But either way.
Philadelphia.
Fair. So there's still that hanging out there. And that obviously has an impact because of their position similarities. But Isaiah Livers, let's get into what your immediate take was on that.
Immediate take is that I think his shooting just alone really raises Michigan's floor as a team. We saw how much of an impact he made on last year's team when he was off the court with various injuries. And he gives you basically solid 35 minutes, a guy who can shoot 40% from three. I mean, Michigan, no one else on Michigan's roster has ever shot 40% from 3-point range in a season. So that shooting alone gives you something. I think if you look at, the big question will be, what can you expect from Isaiah Livers growth-wise, right? Like, sure. I think he's kind of been on a pretty steady trajectory as far as his improvement. He's mostly been the same type of player throughout his career. I don't really see him as a guy who all of a sudden you're going to put in 20 ball screens a game and is going to be this dynamic scorer. But I think having him, what he can do, makes it much more attainable for guys like Eli Brooks or Mike Smith or Franz Wagner, who are going to be in some of those playmaking roles, to actually be successful, right? They don't have to create everything. He gives them a weapon to kind of build off of and play off of.
He's enormous for spacing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you talk about opportunities for Franz Wagner to be able to play out of a ball screen and get downhill and things like that, well, you need a guy like Isaiah Livers standing on the opposite wing, right? You need this dynamic where, you know, he's one guy you cannot leave because he will burn you from anywhere. He's good in transition. Like he does do a lot of things that not only will show up on his box score, but helps everyone else. Right. Mm-hmm. You brought up his growth, and that is where I really like Isaiah Livers as a player. But that question's kind of where I get stuck on a, like, trying to envision what might be different about him next year. Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, what's a plausible, like, big step, if there's anything there.
I mean, 30-plus games healthy. That's the biggest thing, right, is his health and his conditioning. Like, that player would be really valuable on any team. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. You're going to have to see, though, what he looks like without Xavier Simpson finding him the ball. Mm-hmm. I think it's on defense, really, where you look for him to make the most improvement, just sort of as far as lateral quickness and his ability to defend multiple positions. Early in his career, he was bulking up to defend the five, right? Like, right. He played the five for long stretches in his sophomore year for Michigan. Like, he was Michigan's backup center. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about really needing him to play the three at times to guard more positions than just kind of those power forwards and combo forwards. And he wasn't particularly good at that last year. I just don't know how much of that had to do with the injury. And I kind of have that lasting impression of him late in the season trying to defend on the perimeter. And he just clearly wasn't 100% healthy.
Right,
so
right.
Getting healthy and being able to guard, like, really be an impact defender, I think that's his best path forward. And really his path to be a pro is going to be a guy who can defend three spots and hit 40% of his threes.
Yeah, and I think that we've talked about, you know, what his kind of limitations as a passer, as a guy who, yeah, as a facilitator, that's just not – it just seems unlikely that there's significant growth in that area in terms of statistically probably. But I do wonder if there could be anything ratcheted up in terms of aggressiveness, things like that. We've talked about his foul shooting, 96% foul shooting last year. Great. That's awesome. Problem is that he took 46 foul shots in 21 games. You know, it just seems like an area of free money that kind of gets left on the table. But you know, how does he get that would be my question.
Yeah, I think you'll see him make modest, like, just modest improvements, like 2 or 3 possessions a game where he dribbles hard into his own shot or is just more decisive with his decision-making will really make a big difference, I think, because you're going to have those possessions to work with when you don't have Xavier Simpson dominating the ball, right? It's going to be much more of a patchwork. You're going to create shot attempts in different ways, and that means that the ball will be a lot more balanced. You're not going to have one guy running all those actions. So he will get chances. And I think it's just growing into that little by little. Don't look for him to be a transformed player, but look for him to be a guy who, yeah, three or four times a game, he makes a hard drive to the basket, right? Like, that's within his repertoire, I think. And I think you'll see him, just the maturity that he has, understanding what it takes to play college basketball, like, he can make some of those subtle improvements, I think.
Yeah. And his importance, you know, to the offense as a whole, especially without Xavier, where, you know, that ball is going to need to keep moving because you don't have a guy like Xavier Simpson, who's just this primary distributor who is, you know, going to control the ball 80% of the time, it seems like, and make all the passes that lead to buckets. I think it's going to need to be a much more fluid offense with a lot of guys touching the ball, right? And guys making the extra pass and stuff like that. And while Isaiah might not be a three dribble, head on a swivel, you know, find a guy in the corner type facilitator, he does, like, he understands the game and he will make the pass to the open man and stuff like that. So he might not make, you know, the pass that leads to the assist, but, you know, he is a guy who swings the ball, moves the ball, understands kind of how there's a certain fluidity to offense. So, that's really important for a team that's going to be kind of finding a way without a point guard. Like I said, he won't be, he had two assists per 100 possessions last year. And that's kind of who he is as a player, but he's also not a black hole with the ball, you know, like, the numbers are a little misleading there.
Yeah. He doesn't average a lot of assists, but he's very direct, right? He finishes possessions quickly. It's not like he's dribbling the ball and not passing. Mm-hmm. When the ball comes to him, he usually just puts it in the basket, right? Like, that's a really good – it's good. He creates assists by making shots. Yeah. And so you have to have both sides of it. I think one really interesting area will be leadership. Michigan is going to be probably one of the oldest teams in the country. Mike Smith will be 23. Livers, Eli Brooks, and Shondi Brown will all turn 22 this year. So they're going to be old. But they're also – there's very few players on this team who have even played in the NCAA tournament at this point, at least right. In any meaningful way.
So Livers played together, period.
Yes. Yeah, so, but Livers is that connection to, he was in that Final Four game. He was like, he's the connection kind of to that Xavier Simpson team, who was very much the leader for the last 3.5 years or whatever. But
it's him and Eli, really.
So I think having that connection of kind of creating an accountability and everything else will be interesting. But I think Isaiah also has to grow as a vocal leader to really thrive in that role, because that hasn't really been how I would ever define him previously.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's a really good point you bring up, that not only are they old, but, you know, Mike Smith and Shondi Brown have played a lot of games. They haven't won a lot of games, you know? Yeah. And that's different. So it's coming into kind of a demanding situation where if they start out 3-3, people are going to be losing their shit, right? And it'll be probably a little bit different experience for those guys. Isaiah, Eli, Austin Davis, like, those are guys who have at least been there but have never been the
guy everyone
looks to. I'm calling you out. Or follow me or listen to me or any of that. They've always been, I think, happy to take that secondary role. Like, yeah. I've never gotten the sense that, like, Isaiah was, like, dying to be like, you know, let me be the guy vocally and stuff like that. Like, I just don't know how much that meshes with his personality.
People who are dying to be that guy usually become that guy. And
right.
Yeah. So I don't think that's really his natural personality, but I do think you have leaders who grow into that role as they go, even if they're not naturally that guy, right? Like, I know Livers was giving an interview and he talked about how John Teske was a great leader last year, even though he was very quiet. He was really a mentor for some of the younger guys on the team. I think Eli and Isaiah have some of that leadership capability in that regard, but they will need someone to be vocal. And you could see a situation where, like, Franz Wagner is a guy who comes by that more naturally to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. And when you have Livers back on the roster, though, it's just, I think that link from sort of generation to generation is important. When you have all these new pieces coming in for freshmen, everything else, like, that transition is still an important thing to think about.
think that's a great point. One thing that's kind of curious about this whole deal is, like, you remember when back in the day, I should say, only because the last year has taken a fucking decade, but back in the day, you know, the guy who declares for the draft comes back and, you know, Bozo's like, me or was like, so what'd you learn from the process? What'd you learn about yourself? What was your feedback? How did the work, you know, what did you get out of the workouts and all that stuff? Isaiah Livers went through a draft process, and what do you get out of that? I'm sure there were evaluations that he got back in terms of breakdowns from scouts and stuff like that, and do this and do that. But I'm probably pretty sure most of them said exactly what you said at the top of this. Need you to stay healthy, man, and our doctors can't visit with you, so you're not really a draftable prospect. Point blank, period, end of sentence. You know, like, that's just kind of what it boiled down to for him. So what do you think in any realm could he have gotten out of going through this? Is there anything?
Probably met a lot of front office executives over his Zoom calls, but I don't know what, I mean, an honest assessment of where he stood, but
probably,
I mean,
has a future agent lined up.
He needed the opportunity to play his way onto the radar, right?
He needed to get into workouts and just crush from the 3-point line.
And instead he just don't get a workout. So, I mean, it was a doomed situation really for him, I would say, as far as that's probably frustrating. I mean, what has anyone gotten out of the last four months? It sucks.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure he's as frustrated. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was just a disastrous process for everyone involved. I can't really think anyone's happy with it.
So let's talk about some possibilities here roster wise. With Livers back, let's for a second, we'll play both scenarios. Okay. With and without Shaundy Brown. We'll start with, because I think this is more complicated and thus more interesting. If Shaundy Brown has a waiver and is full go, how do you kind of see that scenario playing out, on the wings, forward position area?
Yeah, this is kind of the million-dollar question. First, I think Michigan's – I've been asked if Michigan would rather have Shaundy Brown this year or next year with Livers back. I think the answer has to be this year. I think you have a win-now sort of mentality. When you have Franz Wagner back, you have Livers back, you have 1 year from Shaundy Brown, I think put him on the floor and have the best team possible.
Completely agree.
So that's my first point on that. Second of all,
can I make a point on that?
Yeah.
Look, Shaundy Brown's good. He's a good player, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that next transfer portal season, you can find a guy who's relatively similar to Shaundy Brown if you need him on that team.
Yeah, I think you're looking at the situation, and Shaundy Brown is a great piece to add to a rotation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can be the guy who's going to carry your team you're going to build around next year.
Totally agree.
So, and Shaundy Brown probably wants to play. He's going to be 22 years old. I mean, get him on the court and let him play. I think that he is best served as a sixth man on this roster. I think that comes down to Mike Smith and Eli Brooks starting at the 1 and 2. And I think Shaundy Brown can then come into the game and replace anyone 1 through 4. I think he probably plays 25, 30 minutes, but I think that's the best way to make it work. I think you just want a little more ball handling on the floor when I don't think Franz, I don't think Isaiah or Eli Brooks are really A-plus ball handlers.
Sure.
Smith lets you run that, kind of have a little more traditional look. Shaundy Brown, I think you can put him at any spot. I don't know. That's where I would go off the top. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds right. I mean, you're not going to ask Livers or Franz to come off the bench, right? So it's kind of, he's just the default guy. I do like the fact that he's a multi-position player who can come in and he can on both sides, right? If you need him defensively, you know, you can put him at multiple spots coming off the bench. Or he just gives you a very different look offensively. You know, I'll be curious to see on paper, the versatility is pretty strong. And especially you know, this kind of plays into that conversation that we had a month ago when we talked about Brandon Johns playing the five. We talked about it for like 20 minutes and that roll it back because this would it both roster possibilities, I think, lean and lend themselves to that. So, but at the forward spots, you know, I still wonder how much you can see Livers and Brown together. And, you know, what are the possibilities, if any, of Franz playing any significant time at the two? You bring up a good point with ball handling, but, you know, that is just a lineup where I'd like to see it, you know, just the possibilities of it seem, when you just talk about talent on paper, right? Like that lineup, you're kind of, that's kind of a holy shit lineup.
Yeah, I think you look at it, I think Shondi Brown, Livers, and Franz will play a lot of minutes together. I don't have any doubt about that. I don't know that you'll start like that, but
right.
I would look at it as Franz probably plays the two on offense in that regard. Mm-hmm. Shondi probably guards the most two-like player on the other team. But really, you're going to be switching just about everything in that.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Thing.
You're going to have all those guys who are probably no one is best suited to guard like a 6'3 jet quick guard, but everyone give it your best shot. I think you look at the Wisconsin game last year and Michigan basically tried that and it went to shit really quickly. Mm-hmm. I think that's just one game. You can't base everything off of that. But
against
I think
the team that won the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, and was just shooting the shit out of the ball for a month straight. Either way, I think that shows that Franz and Isaiah do have to improve as defenders to kind of work some of that. But I think you'll see that for sure. You're looking at all those – basically, you have three players that are going to be playing at least probably close to 30 minutes a game, right? So I think you'll get balance out of those guys. I also think Eli Brooks is going to play 30-plus minutes a game. He just about led the team in minutes last year. He's going to be in that role whether people aren't enamored with his – potential or whatnot. He's a senior. He's the most reliable, dependable guard on the roster. So that's what it comes down to. For me, I think you have to find minutes for Mike Smith because of his ability to run high ball screens and run an offense. And there's no one else on the roster that really does that or looks to dribble with any purpose, really, to me.
Yeah. The it's kind of the almost like the video game lineup idea where you're just like, oh, I'm just going to get, these are all the best players. I'll just put these guys all on the floor together. And like, to an extent, you do kind of let your mind wander into that of, all right, say an Eli or a Mike Smith at the one, Franz at the two, Isaiah at the three, Shondi at the 4/3, whatever, the wings, right? And then a Brandon Johns at the five. And now you're talking, you're switching 1 through 5, you got athletes all over the place. You got guys who can play above the rim, who can get out and run, who can, you know, all can shoot the three. That gets really interesting. And what would be one thing that might create a little bit of an issue is what the hell the season looks like. Because if there's, you know, normal season, you have November and December to play around with this stuff. But if there's the possibility of, you know, say a January 1 start and you just go right into conference play, like how much fiddling will there be for teams to kind of play with, you know?
Depends on how your first move works, right? You fiddle when shit doesn't work. I think Brandon Johns at the five is really the key to Michigan's season next year at this point when you look at it. Obviously Hunter Dickinson gives you something, but you need
big statement.
What, Johns at the five?
No, is the key to the whole season.
I just – that's the most glaring weakness on the roster is that it's getting to 40 minutes of center production. And if Johns at the five works as something productive, that really answers that question, right? I'm not quite as high on Johns' potential at the four this season, so it makes a lot of sense. And with Livers back, I think you can really look at that long and hard and see if it'll work.
Yeah.
I'm also not completely convinced that that's the route Juwan Howard will go. So I'm be interested to see how that plays out.
He seems like a guy who likes centers. Centers.
Yeah.
For sure. First of all, I will just say I think that the key to the season is some semblance of good point guard play over getting the minutes out of the center spot.
Fair.
But back to Livers and the roster. Is there anything else roster-wise that this move plays into? Because obviously without Brown, if he is on the shelf for the year, I think you're basically running it back from last year, essentially, right? You're just going to be him and Wagner playing a ton of minutes. Johns will probably see time at the four a little more easily, right?
Yeah.
And then Terrence Williams probably comes into play. Maybe a little, you know, we didn't even bring him up in.
Yeah, Terrence Williams version. Is very dependent on the Shaun D. Brown waiver.
For sure.
I could see him being a legit rotation piece if Shaun D. Brown sits or having a really hard time finding minutes. I think Zeb Jackson's another interesting one where Michigan desperately needs more bodies at that position. I think it's right to be a little skeptical of how ready he is to play after his senior year at Montverde, but you have to at least look at his potential in that regard, just as a 6'3 athletic guard who can maybe provide some defense, maybe a little ball handling. Either of those, though, Shaun D. Brown, if he's eligible, just kind of pushes all those opportunities out the door for a little bit, because you're just going to ride with the top six or seven guys at that point. When you have a guy who's that versatile, who can play each position, you don't have to really worry about going very deep in your bench.
Yeah, it gets crowded quick if he's a piece, because I think you were spot on earlier when you said 25 to 30 minutes for Brown. If he can play, then they'll come somewhere, and they'll come at someone else's expense.
Yeah. And if he doesn't play, I could see them being split up between like two or three people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, just another guy who I can see getting above 20 minutes significantly on the roster. I think we can take a second to realize what a rocky offseason it's been as far as like roster moves for Michigan. And in the end, I think Juwan Howard kind of lost his way a little bit and like had some hiccups along the way. Like,
yeah,
if you think of how many different roster moves we've talked about, but brought everything back together pretty nicely here, especially if Shaun D. Brown is eligible.
I mean, on paper, it looks like a top five Big Ten team.
Yeah, I think it's with Shaun D. for sure. I would say
with Shaun D. for sure. I think it's borderline top five without him.
Yeah, and there was a chance it looked like it could have two McDonald's All-Americans, no McDonald's All-Americans, pro. Like, you were looking at Livers staying, Livers going. Yeah. You're looking at all these different things, but
David DeJulius was supposed to be competing for the lead point guard spot here.
David DeJulius,
that's a blast from the past.
Like, all these names, and I just think usually you want, like they say,
no Joel Eastern still in the market if Michigan wants to change its
admissions policy. But usually you shoot for like a quiet offseason. I think getting through a noisy offseason relatively in good shape is noteworthy. That's all I'm saying.
It's been hard to follow. Whatever idiot has to write the blue ribbon preview is going to have a hard time explaining this, I can tell you. I actually have to write the state of the program later this summer. I'm glad that some of this stuff has
glad you waited.
Filtered out. Yeah, right.
It's changing every week.
Yeah. Michigan State's doesn't run until like September, so that's also helpful.
Michigan State has not had a roster move this offseason, right?
Well, they've had pending roster moves.
True.
It's kind of hard to write about Michigan State next year without knowing what Xavier Tillman's going to do, because that kind of changes the whole ball game.
Just two more weeks.
There you go. And that should be coming soon, I would think.
Yeah, so we'll practices do this all over again. Are starting, right?
Like, it is on, man. The balls are being bounced.
Big Ten hooping a little bit. So I think that goes into the timing of some of these announcements here with Livers coming back. I think you've seen some other announcements across the country, because – even if kids are still in the draft, they can still participate in workouts with the team on campus, I believe. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then they still could potentially go pro. So it's a kind of a tricky situation. Usually you have this a little bit in the spring, but it just feels different now with everything that goes into actually holding workouts.
Yeah. It'd be nice if I feel like there's those viewing areas in these places that are very safely socially distanced. I feel like some of this stuff should be opened up. Not for like general public, for like two podcast hosts.
Yeah, I mean, considering nothing was opened up when there was not an international pandemic, I don't know. Yeah. You might want to try something might a little
tough. Probably tough ask. Hard sell. Tough ask.
Might be a hard sell when you got bubbles everywhere and it's not going to really encourage outside visitors. I wouldn't.
It's hard. I'm like 2 miles from the gym at my house. I could go over there and watch some hoop right now.
Let me know how that goes for you.
It's a bummer. I'll start peering in the windows like a recruit.
Any other Michigan anything?
I don't think so. We got time. We're going to do more of these. I'm not traveling here for a little bit. So when the Xavier Tillman news drops, we'll be back. When the Aaron Henry news drops, we'll be back. Hopefully they bunch those together. That would be appreciated. Any recruiting stuff that comes up, we should be good to do some spot coverage here.
All right.
You good?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Nice, short and sweet.
There we go. Well, we appreciate you all listening. Please be sure to support UM Hoops as well as The Athletic. Those are the subscriptions that make this thing possible. Recommend this podcast to any friends that you think might be interested. And after that, be sure to tip your bartenders and your servers.